Welcome back to Minister of the Body, everybody. That's right. Thank you so much for everyone who's joining us today. If it is your first time joining us today, my name is Lux.
And my name is Tato.
Yes, and we are the Rapatlelo Brothers. We are back with another video. It's been a long time.
Yes.
Thank you for your patience with us. You know, doing these videos is not an easy thing. And, you know, I think it is a good thing that we take some time to go and seek God's face, because life throws things at you.
Yeah.
And 100%. We can't pretend to be still strong there. And, you know, because then God is watching you. It's like, okay, whose strength are you relying on? Your own? Up as me, I'm the one who puts you on that camera to talk my word. So we have to always go back to God and say, God, hey, talk to us.
Yeah.
Give us the strength. 100%. All right. So we're back right now by, you know, God's word. You know, we're not just here by our own doing, but we're here because God has allowed and opened the door for that. So today we're going to talk about something very important, something that even right now it's still circulating
100%
in me.
Yeah,
please, bro, kick us off.
So I know some of you have had some experiences that are similar to mine, but mine is particularly distinct. So what happened was, Lux and I, we were traveling back home from Johannesburg. We were visiting our cousins, but we're traveling by bus. Fast forward a little bit. I had to disembark the bus. I don't want to go into too much detail because it's a little bit embarrassing.
You know, let me just say this, guys. Tato has never told the story to anyone.
And I intend not to. Hence, I'm skipping details.
You guys must be very important to hear this come out today. But continue.
I'm skipping details on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fast forward, I had to disembark the bus to relieve myself.
Yeah. but did you tell them why? Or you told them that you were
I didn't say you. So I had a stomach bug.
Mm.
I had a stomach bug and I needed to relieve myself immediately.
And bear in mind in the bus there's a sign that says no doing number two.
So we're essentially telling the story. I'm skipping these details.
No, but to be honest, why did you have to disembark the bus though?
Clearly, I had to drill it myself.
People in overseas, they're going to think in South Africa, we don't have toilets in our buses.
Okay, fine.
We
do. In the bus, there is a bathroom, a toilet or a lavatory.
Yes,
but lavatory. You can't necessarily relieve yourself in that way.
Yeah.
In that toilet.
Yeah.
So the only other option was to stop the bus, right? Because I couldn't do it in that toilet.
Mm.
And if I had done it there, it probably could have been worse.
Yeah.
Right? Fine. So I do that, right? The driver stops the bus for me. I get off. I do what I gotta do. I come back. Fine. For me, I'm thinking that everything is fine now. We're good. We can continue the journey, right? Fine. We continue. A few minutes later, or like as we're driving, Lux asks me, like, did you wipe? I'm like, yes, I did. It's like, what did you use to wipe? It's like, I'm like, the driver gave me some tissue. However, it wasn't enough, so I had to use some grass. Fine. Anyway. So it's like, oh, okay. Ish. I don't think you did a good job at wiping. So I'm like, hey, why? He's like, eh, the smell is a bit loud. So I'm like, what? I didn't notice because I'm confused. I'm like, what do you mean? It's loud. Like, for me, I can't smell anything.
Mm.
But it's like, nah, bro. It's
something, right?
It's poignant.
It's potent.
It's potent. Bear in mind, like, we're like only halfway to PLK.
So not even. We're less than halfway away.
Yeah. So best believe there's like an hour and a half left to get to the destination. So this smell is doing the rounds. So and this whole time I did not notice. Like, I thought I was good.
Mm.
But in actual fact, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty much the theme of today's video, you know, which is thinking we're fine, thinking that our walk in the Lord is perfect, it's great, when we really aren't. And this is something that all children of God will always fall victim to if we do not keep watch, you know. And something very interesting about this story that Tato's telling is that, you know, I mean, from being on the outside of the bus, being in that situation, obviously, I mean, when you come in, you're not going to smell like anything changed because your nose got used to the smell.
Yeah, my nose got from outside. Used to the smell when I was outside.
So you wouldn't have realized that you brought it inside. So now people who were not in your environment, in your atmosphere, will definitely tell that you brought something different.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah. And had it not been Locks bringing that to my attention, like, I would have been oblivious of the fact.
100%. And after I brought to your attention, you were very insecure.
Fine. I was uncomfortable.
For the rest of the bus ride.
The longest hour and a half of my life.
But the point was that now you are aware.
Yeah, I was aware.
And I think a lot of us are not aware of certain things in our spiritual work with God, of things that are happening in our lives that cause us to think that we're fine when we're not. And the devil works in ignorance, you see. He causes us to feel like things are okay, but he's hiding the true stinker in the situation, excuse the pun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Tato had drawn up some three things, at least in his life and my life especially, that we've seen in our own lives take place. And we wanted to share these things with you because we think there are other people out there who are probably experiencing the same thing as well.
Yeah.
And one of the first thing that we wanted to talk about is just three things, three main things. There's probably a lot more. But three main things that will overarch on different smaller things, right? Yeah. And the first issue was, you know, trying to seem or be relevant in the eyes of man, people.
Yeah.
Or in our case, we serve at church. And many of you guys who I know, a lot of you guys who watch this also serve at churches. And sometimes we find ourselves falling in the trap of, you know, What actually started as serving God, we're now serving the church leaders, serving, you know, your immediate, serving people who are watching, serving your crush, you know, can manifest in different ways. Yeah. And that is a very, very, very bad trap to fall into. And you don't see it coming until you're very deep in it.
Mm. And it's only when it's not too late, it's never too late, but like only once, like Locke said, you're deep within it, where you realize that I've actually traveled down a path which is not necessarily advisable. But like, for an example, Locke said when it stops becoming about God and more about pleasing your immediate superior, like Locke's mentioned, I'm just thinking to myself, if I was removed from that position or removed from that opportunity to serve, will I still have the same drive to serve elsewhere? So I'm basically asking myself, why isn't the question, how else can I serve God? And why am I still, broken at the fact that I cannot serve in this capacity? Why am I not looking at other capacities which I can serve in? Which is one thing which I was also looking at myself at. Am I really doing it for God, which was the original intention, or am I doing it for other reasons?
Yeah. Are you doing it because that specific role looks glamorous?
It looks glamorous.
Understand?
Yeah.
Because a lot of us, I mean, and this is something that like we had to learn a very long time ago, and we're still learning even today. You know, that there's those positions, even in the church, positions in your cell groups, positions in leadership places elsewhere, outside of church, wherever it may be, where, you know, they look glamorous and we want those things. And outside of those things, we don't see ourselves serving in any other way. Mm. And Tato's asking, why don't you ask yourself the question, how else can I serve? Because God has clearly not put me in this position, exactly. At least at this point, yeah. At least right now.
Yeah.
You understand? So it seems like we want glamour or we want specific roles. And then we can say we're serving God. And that's not true. We're serving the role or we're serving that specific office that we want someone to put us in because certain people will be seeing mm. or that it comes with a certain level of accolade.
Mm.
Us, you know, whatever it may be. And at the end of the day, if you find yourself ever wanting to be in a specific position of serving God solely because of the glory that it comes with or the glamour that it's surrounded by,
mm.
you're not really truly worshiping God or serving Him with your heart.
Yeah.
And this is the trap that a lot of us can fall into where we're serving for the approval of man. And in John chapter 12, verse 42 to 43, a very important verse. It says, nevertheless, this is an amplified, nevertheless, even many of the leading men believed in him as Savior and Messiah. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess it for fear that if they acknowledged him openly, they would be put out of the synagogue, excommunicated, for they loved the approval of men more than the approval of God. Sorry, I left my glasses, so that was a very challenging to read.
I saw.
So essentially speaking, what this verse is saying is that there were people that Jesus was preaching to, right? And some of the people in this crowd were leading men. But now they were afraid to openly come and say, we acknowledge you, Jesus Christ, for what you say, and we believe the word that you're giving to us today.
Mm.
But we can't come out and openly say that. Because we are afraid that we'll be kicked out of our positions.
Mm.
And over here says, because they loved the approval of men more than the approval of God.
Mm.
And many of us may be under this, I guess, phase of life, I guess, you know, in our spiritual work, where we say we love God and we say we want God to be the one to approve of us and we're only doing things for God. But in action, we find ourselves deep down doing things because we love the approval of man more than the approval of God. I'll give you an example, right? Just a simple example. As a child, you will always hide the naughty part of your life or the bad parts of your life as a disobedient child, né, from your parents. And I'm saying as a child who is a child of God and is very aware of God in your life,
mm.
but you know that God is omnipresent. You mm-hmm. know this. You know that He sees everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you will be first to hide things from your parents and not hide things from God because you know you can't, number one, mm-hmm. you can't hide things from God.
Yeah.
But we fear our parents more than we revere God.
Yeah.
It's just an example that I'm giving you that
yeah.
you would hide certain parts of your life from your parents because of the amount of reverence or fear that you have of them. But then but God, you're openly God doing it in front of God.
Openly.
So now my question is, why is your mind not clicking that God can see me?
Yeah.
And that might be because we don't acknowledge God in a lot of things that we do day to day. The only time a lot of people think of God is when they step into a church building or in a cell group.
Mm.
It's the only time where the acknowledgement of God happens. And over here, this Bible is saying that they could not openly acknowledge Jesus Christ because of the approval of man that they valued more than the approval of God.
Mm.
I think if we change the way we do things and seek God's approval, before man's approval, you will find ourselves being much, much closer to the middle of this very narrow road that the Bible talks about.
Yeah. It also reminds me of the story of Saul, King Saul rather, where Samuel was basically telling him that, yo man, I just forgot what he did. But yeah, he did something that God didn't like. Right.
Yeah.
And God disapproved. Right. So then Samuel was telling him that, hey man, you did this. Right. Then yeah, King Saul is like, yo, I'm so sorry, man. I've sinned against God, whatever. And then he's like, but please honor me in front of the elders.
Mm.
My question is, why is that even on your mind if you are so distraught at what you've done or how you've sinned against God? Why is you being honored in front of the elders still a thing on your mind?
It's a dangerous thing because now he's realizing that he's sinned against God, but the elders were still the priority in his mind at the time.
Yeah.
So you see how we mix a lot of things that, and the Bible says we can't serve two gods.
You can't.
Right? Man cannot be our God and then God be our God as well. It just does not work like that. So this thing of trying to appease people, to see you in a certain way, how about how God sees you? You know, the Bible says a lot about what God, how God has created us, that he knew us before, you know, we're even formed in our mother's wombs. Why don't we take that as the identity of our lives rather than taking what people say about us? And now, every time we listen to what people say about us, it causes us to want to live up to that standard even more. Right? Where we hear what people are saying, we hear what that person said, we hear what this person is saying, and then every time we're trying to change our lives to fit that specific story or narrative about our lives, and you find yourselves being tossed around like a wave in the wind, right? Whereas God, him being unchanging, one, never changing, never casting a shifting shadow, he will never change what he has said you were meant to be. And that is the way, the thing that we're supposed to be living up to. But yeah, I think sometimes we just get to a point where we started off loving God. We started off doing things for God. We wanted to serve because God called us to it. And everything was about God. But I think because of a lot of things that just happen in life, even in churches, even in wherever it may be, we start to take the pressure that gets applied on us and we start to do it for man. Our intentions change. It's no more for God, even though that's how it started. And when Jesus was speaking to the church of Ephesus in Revelations, he was saying that you guys hate what I hate, which is good, and you guys condemn evil things and so on and so on. But it says this one charge that I have against you is that you have lost your first love for me. That original love that you had for me has died down. So you need to, he said to them, right, take note of how high you've fallen off and repent. That's what he said. Take note. Take notice of how high you've fallen from. So he's saying that you've done so much work. You guys went very high with your work and your spiritual walk in Christ. But you've fallen off from very high and you need to go and repent and go back to the first love that you had for Jesus. And a lot of us need to do that as well, because we're no more serving God. We are serving people's eyes. We are serving people's hand claps. Now, when other people get lifted in church, you get upset. So are you doing it because you wanted to be lifted? Or are you doing it because you guys are generating reward in heaven rather? You see, if everything we did was for the reward in heaven, the things that people do to approve of you, to say well done to you, and I'm saying those things are not bad, but those things will not change the amount of effort you put in doing things. When people always honor someone else instead of you, sometimes we pull back the amount of effort that we put into those things because we feel like no one is noticing me. But then it means that you want to be noticed by people. Even though I understand that, you know, acknowledging people is a good thing, but not everyone is going to acknowledge you. And if people don't acknowledge you, it mustn't stop you from doing God's work. All right, cool. So the second thing was the state of your heart.
Yeah, so basically what that means to me, or why I brought up that point in the first place, is because I also realized that also us as believers, right? We sometimes think that because we don't engage in certain active sin, we are fine in our state. But it's not just the active sin, but it's also the passive ones. There's a passage that says, let me paraphrase it. Even though you have not done the physical act of of fornication, but the mere fact that you thought about it is equally as dreadful
as adultery. Yeah,
as adultery, yeah, right? Yeah. So even myself, like I mustn't even begin to think that because I haven't done it physically, I'm okay. The fact that I've just thought about it, I'm equally as liable for that, which is why we needed to be, which is why I brought up the point that we have to be watchful of the state of our heart.
Mm, yeah, you're very right. The state of your heart is very important because you don't see change. Nope. Mm. You will never see your heart actively changing in front of your eyes, which is why you'll only notice when your life is fully different. And the reason why is because I think maybe some of us don't really see the seriousness of the state of your heart, especially as the Bible states a lot of verses. We see in Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So meaning that you are everything that your heart is, right? Mm-hmm. And remember even the verse that talks about the treasures of your heart, right? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, it says that a good man does good out of the good treasures of his heart, and an evil man does evil out of the evil treasures of his heart.
Mm.
You understand? So I think we should also understand that there's a difference between your mind and your heart, because some people will condemn themselves for bad thoughts that they have. Everyone is going to have good and bad thoughts in their mind. However, your mind is a waiting area where the Bible says you need to capture bad thoughts or those evil thoughts. They need to be captured into the obedience of Christ before they enter and seep into your heart, which is like your deep secret place, the entity of who you are, of your soul, essentially speaking. So when the Bible talks about treasures of your heart, it's talking about those things that you hold dear to your life, your real deep desires, the things and values that you hold so close to you. And now in your mind, it's all types of thoughts. You see something and there's a thought. You hear something and there's a thought. And you have time to capture those thoughts before they become what your heart is.
Mm.
And we don't take notice of those things. And that's why even the music that we listen to, when people tell you, hey, stop listening to music that is not good for your mind or your heart or whatever, you think they're just saying it because that repetition. Remember that the Bible talks about how we should meditate on the word of God day and night. The reason being is that when we ponder on God's word, we make it a thought that is constantly running in our minds all the time, that our heart starts to receive that sap from that word that we gain. That's why Paul will also, I think it was Paul, I'm not sure who it was, but says, make sure that your mind thinks on anything that is pure, anything that is praiseworthy, anything, basically all good things. That's what your mind should be thinking on, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why the devil knows that you're not going to actively go and meditate on Satanism. No. So you'll put it in music where you don't know that it's there.
Mm.
But the message in that song is going to run every day because it's your jogging music. And then your heart starts to change without you realizing that that's the case. Do you understand?
Mm. I also think that you'll correct me if I'm wrong, Lux. But I don't think your heart changes overnight, no. Like Lux is saying. But the more you condition it, or the more the recurring thought is on your mind, that can end up seeping into your heart, exactly. Which is more of a slow process than a fast one, which is harder to notice when your heart has deviated.
Yeah, exactly. So our hearts are very important. I think, essentially speaking, you know, when we do things from the, like God says that I see that when he spoke to Samuel. He said, I see the heart, except but you humans see the outer appearance where I can see the heart. And that's why we see that God was even ready to punish sin that started inside. We remember with Balaam in the book of, Numbers, Balaam, when he asked God if he can go and prophesy to Israel, or against Israel, God said, I will allow you to go, but do not speak anything again. Only speak the words that I give you. But now that guy, King Balak, was paying Balaam to go and speak a curse. So now he knew that, Mina, I want this money because they promised him gold and silver that will fill the roof of his house.
True.
But now, when we look at the Bible verse, it literally just jumps from him waking up in the morning straight to, and God sent an angel to go and kill him. So you ask him, well, God, you said he must go. And he went, saddled his donkey and left. But now all of a sudden, God is sending an angel to go and kill this man, Balaam. Right? Balaam. This guy. But now you realize that it's because this guy, he was going there to go and get that bag, to get the money that was promised to him. He was not intending to go and do what God was going to tell him or give him to do. Mm-hmm. And when the angel came down after the donkey was speaking to him, the angel said that, hey, listen, I was here sent to kill you. And then he started asking for forgiveness because he knew.
But let's deep it though. Like, what's name amount of money where you might say, you know what?
You see, and if there's an amount of money that if there's that could amount, pull you away from God,
pull you away.
Your heart was never really there. And God will always judge your heart before he judges your actions, because your actions are derived from what is inside of your heart. Mm. And I think that's why we need to be very careful to work on our hearts. Mm. That is the first place we need to touch, you see. That's the core of your soul. Our salvation is the salvation of the soul. Spirit, the soul, essentially speaking, right? Yeah. So our hearts are very important. And if we don't take note of that issue, then we're going to do things out of the wrong place. We think that we're doing it for God, but our heart is very far from it. Jesus said that they say with their mouths, you understand? They say it with their mouths that they're with me, but their hearts are very far away. From me. So yeah. Jesus also took your heart very serious, that you can say to Jesus, I love you and I'll do anything you tell me to do. But your heart is very far from Jesus.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, we need to truly, truly, truly be worshippers of God from the heart, not from actions and words. God sees way past all of that.
True.
We need to take inventory of what's inside of our hearts so that we understand that everything that we do, we're doing it for God because it's something that's coming out of our hearts. Otherwise, if it's not from your heart, it's not something that's going to naturally come by you, which means that it's going to take your own effort to do. And we know that effort comes to a point where it dies, you know, where you get tired.
True.
Where you get, I guess, what do we call it? Burnt out, you know, because you're putting in effort in something that you can't naturally do from your heart. But anyway, enough of that. It's cool. Number three, the last thing that we're going to talk about, which is to keep watch, and that we all need grace. Please tell us more about that, Taylor.
I think for me, it was very important to understand that the position I find myself in, I got here, or I got to this point purely by grace, right? And it would be very detrimental for me to think I got here by my own accord or by my own sheer willpower, for lack of a better word. But I need to, I'm talking about me. I need to realize and understand and consciously remind myself that the path I walk now, I walk it because of grace and not because I'm Superman Tato or Super Saiyan Tato. I can stay on this narrow path by my own strength or might or by my own will, if I can put it like that, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think for me especially, man, this one is a deep one for me. You know, when Jesus said to the disciples that were with him on Mount Gethsemane when they were praying, he told them to keep watch, right? And he said to them, I have it here with me. Please, let me read it. Do I even have it? I don't know. Okay, I don't have it. But essentially speaking, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, he said to the disciples, watch and pray so that you will not be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just paraphrasing. Now that thing to me, it hit me differently, because I realized when I don't keep watch, meaning that actively take inventory of my spiritual walk in Jesus Christ, I start to find myself becoming complacent in the Lord, where as I start to be weak in certain areas, or I stop keeping watch in certain areas that the devil is using to attack me. The things that I've been fighting for a very long time that God has delivered me from, I don't realize that the devil is slowly bringing those things back because I'm no more keeping watch, because I think because I'm delivered, the devil won't try again. To a point where you only realize when you're back in that thing. Do you understand? It's a very dangerous place to be in. This thing of being keeping watch, Jesus specifically said that they must watch and pray so that they do not fall into temptation. Meaning that if you don't see the temptation about to come, you'll find it right at your doorstep, and now it will be you versus that temptation and versus the willpower that you have in you to say no. Because it says, the Bible says that there's no temptation above your ability to withstand. So now it's you versus that temptation and resisting it. Now it's whether it's a 50-50 battle or 80-60, I don't know. Right?
And, particularly also with regards to some people who say, oh, but I will never do that, until you actually do.
That's not keeping watch. It's not, you understand? Keeping watch. Because you feel you're in a place where you are so far from sin. But now, because you think you're so far from sin, the devil knows you're not watching that area.
You're not watching, yeah.
So he's going to come in that area that you think you're very far from, and you're going to wake up and open your eyes and see that.
And I've done the very thing which I said I'll never do.
How did I get you? So we need to keep watch that we also don't become prideful, because we are so far in our spiritual work that we will never find ourselves in this area. David, when he was looking at Bathsheba, I don't think he realized what he was doing until Nathan had to come and tell him all these things. He was watching Bathsheba. He liked what he saw. He sinned in his heart already. And then he just put into action what had already happened in his mind and in his heart. And then he even killed the woman's husband to hide his sin. And after he managed mission completion, he was fine with everything.
He was good.
He was ready to move on in this new chapter of life.
Good. I'm sure if you asked him before he did that, like, bro,
would you ever do something like that?
I'm sure I know.
No, I mean, listen, when Nathan came with that story,
yeah,
he said that person must be put to death
right now.
And Nathan
didn't think that he was capable of doing that thing.
That he cast judgment on the person in the story, but didn't realize that Nathan was telling the story about him.
Exactly.
And that he cast that judgment of death on himself.
Mm.
And that's the problem with us when we don't keep watch, when we don't realize that we are all in need of God's grace every single day.
Keep watch. Remember, you need grace to fall into such temptations.
Exactly.
Because nobody is immune, if you're being honest.
No one is immune. Jesus telling the disciples that, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So he's telling you that your body, this flesh that you're in, is weak, even though your spirit is on fire for Christ, right? So every single day that I wake up and I find myself still in my body, I'm in need of grace.
We go again.
The next day I wake up and I still find that I'm still in this body of mine, I am still in need of grace.
You need grace again.
Because my body will forever be in its weak form, its fleshly form. It is flesh. We are always in a battle against flesh and blood. I mean, in a battle against, it's spirit versus flesh always. There's always that thing where we're trying to win our souls away from the flesh. Yes, our battle is against spiritual powers, cosmic powers in the heavenly places, not against flesh and blood. However, we are always in this tug of war versus our flesh and our spirit. Now, every day you wake up and you find yourself still in your flesh, you must know that the propensity to sin, it will always be there. The propensity for you to fall into temptation will forever be there. Until God takes you out of your body and you go home, that's when your fight is over. But that's why the Bible says that those who endure to the
end
shall be saved. Anyway, thank you guys for watching this video. We will see you in the next episode. We hope that you guys took something from this. There's a lot to say. Honestly speaking, we can take 4 hours going deeper on these points. But we thought that we should end it here. And I would like you guys all, when you guys have time, to go and pray and meditate on this. Please read Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 24. This literally puts into perspective everything that we're saying. So, yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much for coming today. Remember that your body is a ministry. And this means that everything that you do in your life is always going to be a ministry to someone else. But I hope that the things that you're doing comes from your heart, a heart that has been won by Christ. Otherwise, the things that you're doing means absolutely nothing. So what is your body saying to us?